What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 422, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that of course gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast chugging along here. Of course, my co-host over there on the other side of the screen is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. There's a little podcast behind the scenes mix up there. I thought Bob was going to be late to the podcast. I was looking down at my time. I'm like, okay, we got like 2 minutes, 1 minute. And then he pops into the room and he's like, you're in the wrong stream. So yeah. I was hanging out in the wrong spot. So
that's slightly my fault. I'll take 50% fault for that.
But, all right.
And I didn't think about it till like there was 2 minutes till we started. So I was like, but in any case, we're back. Lots going on, lots of interest, lots of launches this week. Cases, mice, keyboards, all kinds of interesting stuff. I took a look at a really cool product this week. We have a lot of stuff coming up, and it finally feels like September.
Yeah, I saw you post like a picture from, was it last night?
Yeah,
last night. You're like, oh, it's kind of getting cold out, and it was like 60 degrees or something.
Yeah.
It's still pretty warm here. It rained this morning, and then it heated up to 90, you know, 90-something.
The thing was, it was so hot here. It was, like, unbearably hot last week, and now this week it's, like, a 180. But, like I said, getting into fall time, and fall time means launches. Just like this week, we had a ton of launches. We're getting into launch season. There's a lot of stuff coming up. If you're a tech fan, it's the exciting time of year because this is when we're going to get launches and everything getting pushed out for holidays. So definitely stay tuned over these next couple of months because we'll have a lot of content coming out. Before we get started, guys, if you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has all of the articles, everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you did want to click through and follow along, or if you're listening later and you hear us talk about something like, oh, what was that thing? All the articles, everything that we're talking about is linked here, so you can go ahead and just get more information. But we'll start with my review of a pretty interesting product. I have to say it is pretty interesting. Asus decided to put an M.2 slot on a graphics card.
Yeah, we saw this. How long ago was it that we saw like the leaks or the first pictures? Has it been a year since we saw that?
It's been a year.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think when you hear something like that? Do you think gimmick? What do you think?
Like, first thought is yes, absolutely. Like gimmick or why or right? Like it doesn't make sense type of thing. But after you start thinking about it and like put some thought into it, you're like, okay, I can see some instances where this does make sense. But yeah, first thought is like, why? What are they putting a drive on a graphics card for?
Yeah, so the card in question is their dual RTX 4060 Ti SSD OC edition. It's essentially their dual card, just with an M.2 slot on it. And you can see the M.2 slot is right here on the back. RTX 4060 is nothing new. So just to get that out of the way, good 1080p card. You're going to get it around 100 FPS in most AAA titles with everything maxed. 1440p is going to be 60 to 80 FPS, depending, again, on title. And again, we covered this all last year. The cool thing about this card is that, one, it comes with all the hardware to mount your SSD in there. So it does come with a screwdriver and everything like that. And the implementation is just, you know, right on the back. Like the implementation of the M.2 is just right here on the back. It doesn't come with the cover on, so you don't have to take the cover off to do anything. It's all ready to go. And it does have their Q latch design, which is the little tab here. So you don't really use that little screwdriver to actually put in the M.2, and there's no looking for those little tiny screws, which is the good thing, right? Because we've seen that on motherboards in the past. Asus has implemented this Q latch in almost all their motherboards now, so it just makes it super, super simple. And the cool thing about the M.2 slot as well is that it's flipped. So you put your heat, you put, it comes with like a heat tape, heat spreader tape. You put that down and then you put your drive down. And while this may look like the top of a drive, this is actually the bottom of the drive. We have just have chips like your NAND chips over here. On the opposite side is your controller. And if you don't know, your controller is essentially what's going to get the hottest out of your drive, your any drive, the Gen 4, Gen 5, Gen 3 even. That's going to get the hottest. So they actually have that facing down. And the reason that they've done that, if we go back to the previous page here, the reason that they've done that is because they have this big metal piece, which is connected to the actual the heatsink of the graphics card. So if you, you know, on your normal motherboard, you just have a little bit, you have these little heatsinks, right? They're not that big. With this, you actually have an entire graphics card included with fans that's going to cool off your M.2, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, that goes just to old man's chat, old man in the chat's question about like wondering if the top of the GPU is a good spot for it, if it's going to soak up that heat. But you've got access, like you said, to those heat sink fins, the fans blowing on it. So this is,
yeah.
This is
so great. This design, it really makes sense. And again, especially when we're talking about Gen 5 or PCI Express 5 drives, which I tested on this, those get incredibly hot and no issues, like literally no issues with this implementation, because you have a really big heat sink. On top of that, you have fans that dissipate all of the heat. So it's really no issue at all. And the another interesting thing about this card is right here, you have a little BIOS switch, and the performance mode leaves the fans on at all times. So most graphics cards these days, they have the 0 dB. So when the graphics card is idle, the fans turn off. But by default, the fans don't turn off here. So if you are like doing crazy writes to your SSD, it won't overheat. So it's a really nice implementation of all of that. So I really, really like that. And then once it's installed, you know, with the back plate, it looks like this. And you don't have to worry about losing these screws. These screws stay on this metal back plate. So you won't lose them. So that's kind of what the finished product looks like. And I initially thought this was just going to be plug and play, right? I just plug it into my system.
You would think
so.
My
drive shows up, but that's not the case. So the way this works and the way that anything like this works, or ASUS has their Hyper M.2 cards that have like 4 M.2 slots on it, the way it works is with something called bifurcation, which is essentially splitting the lanes. So say you have an X16 slot, you want to split it. So in our case, our graphics card, you know, the RTX 4060 Ti is only an X8 graphics card anyways. So we have extra 8 lanes. So we need to split those lanes essentially in half. So that's where the bifurcation works. Now, the problem is that one, not all motherboards will support it. And it has to be, at least on the Intel side, it has to be put into the BIOS by the manufacturer. Now, ASUS has it on the Intel side, you know, Z590, Z690, Z790. But if you had something really old, it likely won't support it. On the AMD side, AMD has put it into their firmware. So if you have the latest firmware, it's in there. And there's more motherboards that would likely support it. But again, it just comes down to your motherboard. So that's something to keep in mind. And on top of that, it's not plug and play. It's not like, one, you have to have the latest BIOS, or, you know, if you have an older BIOS, you definitely want to update it. Two, you have to go into the BIOS and you go into, I use an ASUS motherboard, a Z790 board. You go into the onboard devices configuration, and then in there, it says PCIe bandwidth bifurcation configuration, and then you can just split it if you want. You can make it just X16, or you can just select GPU with M.2 storage, which I did, and then it will work. But this is not plug and play, and I kind of wish it was plug and play, but that's not how this works. And again, for like a beginner or somebody like that, like going into the BIOS can be daunting. It's not an easy thing. So that's just something to consider with it. But you have to do that. Now, once you turn it on, it's just going to show up just like any other drive. And your graphics card and the M.2 slot are completely independent. They're completely your motherboard sees them as two completely independent devices. So this graphics card is a PCI Express 4.0 graphics card, but we tested a PCI Express 5.0 SSD, and we got 5.0 speeds because it sees it as two different devices. As long as you have a motherboard that has a Gen 5 graphics card slot, you can actually do that. So we tested the Crucial T700, one of the fastest drives we've tested, and great speeds across the board, 12 gigabytes a second read, 11.6 gigabytes a second write. So incredibly fast, no thermal throttling. When we initially tested this drive, even the heatsink version that Crucial sent us, it overheated without having air being flown over it. This, it maxed out at 56 degrees Celsius, which is like nothing.
Yeah.
So that, you know, just think, you have all of this cooling. If we go back to take a look at the card itself, like, you have this big heat sink with multiple heat pipes. That's essentially cooling off the M.2 drive. So it makes sense. It really is a unique way to add another M.2. Say you're maxing out your M.2 availability. You can obviously do this to add it in. It's also kind of funny. You can just like have a graphics card with an M.2 slot with all your games
on. Or just like bring it with you.
So it is unique. The bifurcation makes it a little bit more complicated for a beginner. And again, it's only supported on motherboards that support bifurcation, right? So if you have something really old, it won't be supported. But it is a unique way to add another M.2. And if we talk about Gen 5 storage, I mean, you've seen the heat sinks on the motherboards, and we've seen the Gen 5 M.2 drives that have an AIO on them because they need that much cooling. So this is a way to get Gen 5 storage without having to really worry about bottlenecks or having this, you know, tiny little, you know, those little fans that we see on the...
super loud.
Yeah, that are super loud. You won't have to worry about that with this. So I really like it. But again, it's only on this card because this card is only an X8 card. Obviously, if you put it on like a 4080, 4070, 4080, 4090 that are the full X16, it wouldn't work.
Right.
So again, but it's a cool little product. It was cool to learn about bifurcation. I didn't really know that much about it. And the implementation is really good here by Asus. And it's just a way to add an M.2. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like small form factor builds, right?
Yeah. Great for small form factor builds where you
want to add some more storage.
Yeah. Cause those are typically limited to one to two. Sometimes you see three, sometimes they put two on the back and one in the front these days, but
right.
You know, adding some extra storage, this is a smaller card too. It's their dual. So it is really small. So you could fit in a small form factor build. Now I do have to say, just in general, the RTX 4060 Ti is overpriced. It's $399 now. This is $429.99, so you get a $30 premium for adding the M.2. I don't think it's that bad of a, you know, bump up in price. And like I said, it's just not plug and play, and your motherboard has to support it. So, but super compact. Obviously, the design of the M.2 slot is really good. It's a good card, like I said, for 1440p and 1080p. And again, it's going to have better cooling than pretty much any solution that we've seen for M.2, whether it's in temperature or noise level, it's going to be better. So those are things.
Yeah, you'd have to hang like a huge heat sink off of this thing in order to cool the drive down to what this thing's going to do.
Yeah. So that's
pretty awesome.
That's the thing. So it's just a better solution, I think. But I don't know how many people, you have to think too, how many people have Gen 5 storage that are buying a 4060 Ti level card.
Yeah,
that's a thing too. So, but I really like it. Again, this is the first time we've seen something like this. Maybe we'll see more in the future, you know, and see different implementations or things like that. But it is for an extra $30, if you're already buying the card, it's a nice value add on, I think. So definitely check out the review. It was a lot of fun to learn about all that and check it out. So yeah, From there, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And I wanted Ryan's thoughts on this one because it is a water-cooled build, as most Case Mod Friday builds that we feature are. Now, this is a triple loop design. So three water cooling loops, all different colors. And this one's from Marin Mario Luca. And basically, you can see this is the Fantex. I believe this is the NV9. And so you have this red loop going to the CPU. You have the green loop going to the memory. And then you have the blue loop going to the graphics card. What do you think of this one, Ryan?
No, I like it. It's unique. We've seen it every now and then. You'll see this where it's usually just two loops, one for the GPU and one for the CPU. A lot of times we don't see a ton of memory cooling there. And you know, no, it's cool. I like that it's RGB, right? The memory looks like it's hooked up to just a 240 millimeter radiator in the back. Memory doesn't get super hot anyways, so like that memory is probably nice and chilly, running off of a 240 millimeter radiator at the back. And then it looks like the other two loops are just the 360s, one at the top and one at the bottom of the case. Or I'm sorry, I think one of them's
on the side
on a 480. Yeah. And then there's some three more. Yeah. So you have 120s at the bottom.
The
blue loop. So the GPU's got the 480 radiator on the side. Yeah. No, it's neat. It's cool.
I like it. It's the color choice is interesting. Yeah. But it does just kind of, I really like the way those, reservoirs look like all together, like,
and they do a good job of, because in this case, if you didn't have those reservoirs there, up at the top is where the power supply resides.
Oh yeah,
and there's right. like that like bump out, so it kind of does a good job of hiding that bump out for the power supply, and fills up that space. Because if you go back out to like a picture like zoomed out of the case, the motherboard, the top of the motherboard is below those reservoirs. So up at the top, you've got like this just, I don't know, empty space.
And for somebody, in this one, for somebody who like wants to see what's going on, you can just like always just like look over at this system and see these pumps going and everything. Yep. And pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it's
So shout out to again, Marin Mario Luca for this one. We have all of his stuff linked in the article if you want to check it out. But yeah, I just like these just look super cool. And this like symmetry between them with the lines and everything. It's just, it all looks really cool. Yeah, so definitely go ahead and check that one out. And we'll move on to news. And we have some really interesting stuff this week. We'll start with CPUs. Intel Core Ultra coming very soon. And it looks like one of the models has been leaked. So the Core Ultra 200K series, the Ultra 9, again, if you guys, Intel's confusing us again. So instead of Core i7, Core i9, we're getting Core Ultra 7, Core Ultra 9, Core Ultra 5. It's going to be called Ultra now. We needed to make an I into an Ultra, I guess.
Apparently.
Yeah. So it's the Core Ultra 9 285K. 8 performance cores, 16 E cores, max boost clock speed, 5.7 gigahertz. And then the 250 watts. Yeah.
Then we have heat.
So here's like the full rundown. We have it here. So the Core Ultra 7 265K. 8 performance cores, 12 efficiency cores, going to boost up to 5.5 gigahertz with a base of anywhere from 3.9 to 3.3. And then the Core Ultra 5 245K, 6 performance cores, 8 efficiency cores, boost again anywhere 5.2 to 4, between 4.6. And then the base clock 4.2 to 3.6. Again, we don't know all of the details just yet. I mean, what do you think?
What was that release date? October?
Yeah, it's enough.
So in just over a month, right? October 24th?
October 24th is the expected release date of these. Do you think Intel's going to redeem themselves?
I mean, if they knew the issues that they had with the current gen processors having trouble with voltage, then yeah. And I think if they were going to have problems, like they've obviously tested for these voltage issues that they had with the 13 and 14 series.
It also, we did have another story on the site. All the upcoming motherboards will also have the Intel default setting. If you've upgraded, if you've updated your BIOS recently on an Intel motherboard, you'll see that like by default, the Intel recommended setting is on by default. You're going to get that on the new motherboards as well, which should definitely help with some of those crazy voltage issues. Like I said,
I mean, I don't think they would release it if they knew it had issues. They would like delay. You think they would?
You got to make those.
I mean, you got to put something out, but if you put some another product out like the 14th gen, and then you end up with these issues again. Like,
yeah, I guess that's true.
They may, you know, regulators may come down on you as, yeah, you have to make a profit, but you also like are not being, I don't know. Seems risky.
Yeah. Well, with Z790, we saw pretty high DDR5 speeds. I've tested some 8,000 megahertz kits, which is incredibly fast. It looks like you're going to get 10,000 megahertz.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's going to be incredibly fast. Between 8,000 and 10,000. Again, we can already do 8,000 with a good chip on Z790. So yeah, that's going to be kind of crazy. Now, obviously, that won't be the default, but could be pretty interesting to see how fast. And again, that's just kind of like, could even go higher than that. You know, you get some of these crazy kits and you get a good ship.
Yeah. I'm just thinking ahead to January and like some of the companies we meet with, right? And some of the meetings we have with them talking about the overclocking they're doing of this memory. So I'm just anticipating like numbers that we'll see from them of like just Patriot, for example, right? Like overclocking stuff in the evenings out there and seeing what they can get to with these new chips. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting to go ahead and see all of that. Now, moving over to the AMD side, we have some information on their APU. So we haven't heard a whole lot, but APUs are going to be really big, especially when it comes to, you know, everybody wants their AI on their machine now. So you're going to see a lot of laptops use these chips. So the Ryzen AI 7 Pro, again, confusing names. Ryzen AI 7 Pro 360. This is an 8-core APU featuring a Radeon 88MI GPU. So 8 cores. It's a mix of Zen 5 and Zen 5C cores. Radeon 880M graphics. And then the first laptop to actually make use of this is going to be Lenovo's T14 Gen 6. Their T14 is great. I've reviewed it previously, and it's a really great laptop. That laptop's going to be $1,700. You're going to see a lot more laptops. I wonder, as we get into this next gen of laptops, if AMD will gain some market share.
Possibly, yeah, with the push towards all, you know, AI and the new keyboard button, you know, we're getting on all these systems for
Copilot,
right?
Yeah.
And them having an option, sure. I think it opens up the possibilities.
Yeah, but like I said, all the companies are coming out with these chips that are, that, you know, they have everything inside for to do AI locally on your machine, not sending stuff out to the cloud, obviously, for privacy. So it'll be kind of interesting to see. So the next story we have is... This is a good story for AMD. The next one is not necessarily great. Catastrophic sales of AMD Zen 5 CPUs. We talked about it at the launch, how AMD with Zen 5 or Ryzen 9000 series, they really focused on efficiency, not so much performance. and it seems like nobody's buying them. And this is kind of, they kind of do shoot themselves in the foot with the 7800 X3D. Why get the Ryzen 9000 series when you can get that part, especially as most PC builders are gamers, that's specifically made for gaming. It's a great part at a great price. Why?
Yeah.
Why upgrade? Or why buy that? Why buy Ryzen 9000 series over that? So really bad launch. We have some data on the launch. Like the Ryzen 7 9700X, which would be a pretty high volume part because it's a Ryzen 7, only sold 160 units from Mine Factory, which is like Germany's Newegg, which is not a lot of units. Yeah.
Considering, yeah, what the Zen 4 had sold 850 in the same time frame.
Yeah, so that's just not great. And again, the Ryzen 7 7800X3D is like, that's the part to get if you're primarily a gamer, and there's no reason to really, that part's going to perform better than the Ryzen 9000 series equivalent.
Yeah, yeah, there's no, it's a tough sell to get
and there are a lot of the performance issues that we talked about, like different ways. If you're running in admin mode on Windows, it's, everything's more prioritized, and there's all these different things that you kind of have to optimize in your system. It's not just like installing Windows and you're good to go. You have to like optimize a lot of things to get these processors to work the way that you kind of want to, which is weird. But yeah, there's, like I said, we talked about it as, you know, they really wanted to focus on efficiency rather than performance. But again, all enthusiasts want performance. And again, like I said, they just shoot themselves in the foot with putting out such a good part in the X3D parts that it's really hard to have a normal next gen series that's only a little bit better performance. But again, if you compare it to an X3D part, it's probably the same, if not less performance.
Yeah. So, and having the newer one doesn't set you up for anything in the future because it's still running on the same socket, right, as the previous gen. So it's not like you're getting ahead.
You're not necessarily buying, like, you're not getting a new feature on the motherboards because all the AM5 boards are going to have essentially the same features. And again, you can buy a new AM5 motherboard.
Sure, that maybe has Wi-Fi 7 or something.
Yeah, like, and you can still put an older chip in. You know, you can put that 7800X3D in it. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with AMD on that, because that's not good. But back to a good story for AMD. We talked about the PlayStation 5 Pro, and we were wondering about PlayStation 6. It looks like AMD has the contract for the PlayStation 6, so that will be a big thing for them, for their sales, of course their bottom line, because Sony's going to sell a ton of them. Obviously, Intel was in the bidding and lost. This will make the PlayStation 6 backwards compatible, which is really good. No, we don't really know when the PlayStation 6 is going to come out, but AMD got the contract, so that's good for them. And I think AMD does do these consoles well. They've been doing them for a long time, and they do them really well. So, and again, it really does impact their bottom line in their business. So, like I said, it's good that they got this contract. And I mean, obviously, I don't think you and I are necessarily excited for PlayStation 6, but it's a good thing for AMD there. Moving to motherboards. So there were a lot of Z890 motherboards that were at Computex. They just couldn't say Z890 on them because there was embargoes. But this is, I guess you would call officially the first leaked Z890 motherboard because it says Z890 on it. So this is the MSI MPG Z890 Carbon Wi-Fi. And I know you're going to like some things on this, Ryan.
I saw a bunch of USB at the back.
Yeah. So you have USB 40 gig, you get two Type-Cs, and then you get USB 10 gig one Type-C. So you got three Type-Cs at the back, and then you have all this
USB. Oh, you have four Type-Cs at the back.
Oh, yeah, four Type-Cs at the back, sorry. And no legacy USBs at all on this. 2.5 gig LAN, 5 gig LAN, Wi-Fi 7. And then all your buttons are just so easy. They're just making things so easy. Right on the rear I/O, BIOS flashback, clear CMOS, and the smart button, which I assume you'll be able to customize whatever it does, whether it's a restart, whatever it is, you should be able to customize that. So great to see that. The board itself, what do you think of this MSI board design?
You know me, I think it looks great. I've never been a fan of the MSI Dragon. Other than that, I think it looks good.
And you do it's got see
the button for the your top PCI slot.
Right there. I still like the debug LEDs on there. Yep,
exactly.
Nothing else looks that crazy about this.
Nope, they're all 90 degree SATA ports on the side there. That's always nice. It looks good.
Yeah, I would say it shows how many M.2 slots on there, but a bunch.
I'd say minimum of three.
Yeah, you're at least going to get, one, two, three. One up top,
right.
One, probably three on here, if not four. I don't know if three would fit right there. But awesome to see these. And again, you'll see these at the end of the month officially. So, or at the launch next month, October 24th. So definitely, stay tuned for all of that. And moving on to cases. So Fractal Design, new case. It's a newer version of a case that they've had out for since I was back in PA, so a while ago. They introduced...
It was 4 years ago, I think?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So they introduced the Era 2. So if you remember the original Era... there was a small form factor case. This is the new version. And the first thing that caught my eye, of course, is that nice wooden top there. Great little form factor case. And it had these like really interesting kind of lines, a very minimalistic case, which again, we know Fractal 4. What do you think?
I liked the first version. I think this has some good upgrades to it. They chose some really cool colors. I think you reviewed like a blue.
I reviewed the gold.
The goldish color. Okay. So yeah, they've got a couple of different colors. Let's go around as well.
The website.
Yeah, I like there were like some gold accents around the USB ports. I don't know if you saw that on any pictures that I saw today. Just like little touches of detail. Type
so
stuff.
You have the charcoal gray, you have the blue, and then you have the silver.
Is it silver or white?
These pictures, I don't know. I mean, it looks silver, sort of. Yeah, it's silver.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, just always good to see a Type C on the front there too.
Yep.
Slides
off is nice.
Yeah, for those wondering, this is mini ITX. So, but it's a mini ITX that's like a little tower. And you don't see that all that often anymore. A lot of times you see them with like the top cut off, basically. Yep. Like right there, you see the smaller ones. So this allows you to, what's the support for AIOs?
I think it'll do a 240.
So there you can kind of see it there.
280 even.
Yeah, 280 in there. And again, long graphics cards can go in there. And again, it's slotted for two slot, but that goes well beyond. If you look at the pictures of the back, there's a ton of space. So you have all this extra space over here as well. So I like it. I like the original. And with this, with the... Again, the wood at the top, it's super, super cool. So that's how the top just comes off. And then the outer shell comes off. And then you can access everything. And yeah, they make things incredibly easy. So
very.
Yeah, so really cool. So I don't know. price by now. So $199 for this.
I mean, so it's an aluminum exterior, which usually adds some price. And then it just has all the ease of use features that are definitely worth paying for, in my opinion.
Yeah. When you have like a lower end brand and you're trying to do a build in it and you get a Fractal case, you're like, why doesn't everybody do this?
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember when I got my Define R5, I think is what it was. Like, it just, you're like, wow, this thing's built very, very nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. So great, great case. So, like I said, we don't have a review. I actually declined to review it because I'm moving, but there are some great reviews out there. So if you are interested, definitely go ahead and check that out. Logitech had a big event. They announced a ton of products. We're only going to cover a few. So Logitech G, which is their gaming brand, they launched two new mice. And what essentially sort of what they should have launched last year, but they didn't, and everybody was upset. So first, we'll talk about the mice here. So they have the Logitech G Pro X Super Light 2 DeX, asymmetrical gaming mouse, 8K pooling. This thing is really, really designed well. I think like 2 years went into the actual shape of it, which is kind of crazy. And then they have the Pro 2 or Logitech G Pro 2 Lightspeed. So that's of course the upgrade to the original Pro Wireless. That has their new Hero 2 sensor. So does the DeX that has their new Hero 2 sensor. Just another good gaming mouse. The thing with these Logitech G mice is, do we have the I feel like they just look so plain.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Cause you used to, what was their most like that popular one that was like the gray body, but it looked like almost liquid in there. It was one of their first like G. I never had it.
Yes.
But they are very plain looking.
Yeah. So here is like what the DeX looks like. And you can see it, how it has like this little bit of a different shape, you know?
Yep.
You get black, white, and pink. You're going to get that on all of the products that we're going to talk about, I believe. But yeah, really, really, interesting design. I believe it's 60 grams. Yeah. 60 grams on this one, but that gives you an idea of what the DeX looks like. And then the Pro 2 Lightspeed. So again, completely different shape on this one. So that's what that one looks like. And again, same colors. That should give you a better look at the more like, yeah, very much ambidextrous, completely mouse on this one. This one is, why can't I find the, so this one's 80 grams, so a little bit heavier. Okay, 80 grams, yeah, on this one. And then what they should have announced last year, where is it? I can't find it. Should be under their new products. No. Okay. Well, it is the Pro X TKL Rapid. So this is the Rapid Trigger keyboard. Use Hall Effect switches on this. Why can't I find it? Because I'd like to show you guys. Okay. Maybe they don't have it listed on the website yet. But this is going to use their, again, it's going to use Hall Effect switches, which means you can do snap tap, you can do DKS. We talked about this on other keyboards that were reviewed like this. Dynamic keystroke, which is essentially if you press the key down a little bit, it will do one action. You press it down a little bit farther, it will do another action. I believe they said three actions per switch on this. And again, it's going to have rapid trigger. It's going to have all those things. So this is going to be the first one from Logitech. Everybody wanted the Pro X60, which we reviewed, to be rapid trigger, and it was not. So this is, hopefully people will, this is the one that they definitely want. And everything, of course, can be controlled within the software. You can set up dynamic keystroke in there, snap tap, rapid trigger, all that stuff can be done then. And again, what's cool about Hall Effect switches, if you guys don't know, is it's a magnet, essentially. So it knows how far you're pressing down the switch. So you can set your own actuation point. With a normal mechanical switch, it only gets actuated when the switch goes down through. This, you can be like, if I just tap it slightly, that will be an actuation. You can set it so you can really define and customize, you know, say you want your WASD to be like quick actuation and then your other keys to not, you can go ahead and do that. So that is three of their products. And then the last one is a update to a pretty iconic keyboard, I would have to say. So their G915, which came out, I think, like 4 years ago. Low profile keyboard. And this is the new version. So full size for one, which is, it just seems so big.
It does look very big.
They're going to offer it in different sizes, but this is the picture we have is the full size. I have the original, and it's a great low profile mechanical keyboard. And if you guys want to know, like, I mean, it's very, very low profile switches. It's just, it is great to type on, great to game on. So this is the new version. 800 hours of battery life, RGB, all the new stuff, tri-mode connectivity, has their soft touch keys at the top, which is actually kind of, it is really nice to have those right there at the top as well. So the full size is going to be $229. The TKL is going to be $199. Those are the two sizes. And then you can get it wired for $179.99.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still an expensive keyboard, but yeah, no, it's nice. I know they made a lot of improvements to it. They went to like PVT keycaps.
Yeah.
They switched over to USB Type-C.
Yeah.
Connectivity as opposed to micro. I think they did some fixing on the stems of the switches and the keycaps themselves, because some people had complained that they were like too loose,
yeah,
wobbly. So there was a lot of good
improvements. Yeah, redesigned switch, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, so all new stuff from Logitech, and again, they announced a bunch of other stuff as well, but these are obviously the gaming things that we wanted to cover. Also talking about keyboards, Asus announced their rapid trigger keyboard, the Falchion Ace HFX. This is a smaller keyboard. So this is a 65% analog style keyboard. It is a Hall Effect keyboard. It uses the magnetic switches, 8,000 hertz pulling rate on this one. This is, again, it's going to support dynamic keystroke. It's going to support rapid trigger. It actually has a physical switch on the keyboard, which is like essentially right here on the back, that enables rapid trigger. Cause sometimes you're just like doing stuff, like you're just, you know, you're doing productivity work and you don't want rapid trigger on. So you can just like turn it on. There's some other cool things about this keyboard. I have it right here.
Ooh,
so, nice. Review will be coming soon. So stay tuned for that. But it does support everything else. You know, it's going to support all of the snap tap, rapid trigger, dynamic keystroke. Everything is going to be supported on this. So we're finally getting, because Razer was, well, I wouldn't say Razer was the first. Well, so we had SteelSeries and Razer, but like not all of those keyboards supported all of these features. They had to be added in. Now we're getting the Logitech. We're getting the ROG, you're getting much more options when it comes to these Hall Effect keyboards. So, and again, I think all the manufacturers are now adding all the features, right? Because some, you could only set your actuation point. Some, you could set your actuation point and do dynamic keystroke. And then there's some that you could do all of that plus snap tap plus a bunch of other stuff, right? And I believe Asus said that they'll, you can also, like, setting up SnapTap and setting up some of these like dynamic keystroke stuff is very difficult. So they said that there will be shareable profiles. So if somebody creates a crazy profile for Counter-Strike or something like that, you'll be able to download it and put it on your,
just
on
import your keyboard.
It. Yeah.
It'd be cool if they had like some like pre-made templates, like, hey, here's like what we think you would want to use in a MOBA or a FPS, right?
Yeah. And
to at least get you started with something to work off of.
Yeah. So awesome to see that. And like I said, stay tuned for my review of that keyboard, which will be coming. Corsair. So Corsair also has some interesting new things. They first dropped some stuff from their custom labs. So they have these keyboard or keyboard, mouse, and mouse mat sets. So these are from different artists. So this one is from Nacho Customs. We featured a couple of his mods before. This is his Urban Graffiti. So it's kind of hard to see, but the mouse is right here and the keyboard is right here, and it all goes together, which is pretty cool.
Blends in very well.
Yeah. So that is the Urban Graffiti. Alina Clevergall. I haven't heard of that person. This is their Spellbound. So very like spell witch themed. And again, keyboard. The keyboards do have like matching keycaps and all that kind of stuff with the theme there. So we have that one. Young Zen Ho, this is the Spring Whiskers. So a very like light theme. You got cats, you know. So you have that one there. And those are the three. So they're a limited time offer. You could check them out on the Corsair website. But a cool thing, because a lot of times, like, I have this really cool mouse mat and I have this keyboard that kind of goes with it. And my mouse, like, my keyboard and mouse are white, so they kind of go with this. But this gives you the ability to sort of like really match everything, which is super cool.
Yeah, so, mine's kind of just a mishmash as well.
And like, a lot of times you may get like a key, like, a lot of the keycap companies will sell a mouse mat that goes with the keycaps, but yep. Like, you never find the mouse. The mouse, you know, so this gives you all three of those together, which I definitely like. So check that out on Corsair's website. Also, Corsair is going to buy, so they're going to, again, expand their portfolio again. They're going to go ahead and buy Fanatec. So Fanatec makes the custom driving sim wheels that you can see right here. Corsair is going to buy them. So expanding their portfolio. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, they're all about acquisitions, right? They did Scuf controllers, Elgato, what else? Fantec now.
They did drop
as well. Yes, that was the other. I was like, I know there's another one.
Yeah.
Fanatec stuff is nice.
Yeah.
I've never had any myself, but I've used some. It's kind of that. It's definitely not entry level racing gear.
No, right?
It's a step up from your Logitechs, and things like that. So yeah,
and I think the racing sims have gotten incredibly more popular, especially with the F1 TV show that's on Netflix.
I think that
has increased the popularity, and people are building out sims because like they're into the show.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some new. A new sit down, you know, cage, and then it's got one of Corsair's racing, like, you know, Corsair obviously makes a chair now, right? So they're going to have that design probably for the chair in there.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I think at CES we could see the Corsair driving sim, right?
Hopefully. Well, we haven't seen Corsair a whole lot at CES in the last couple of years, but maybe.
Yeah, so we could see that. That'd be kind of cool. And it would like work with all their, you know, it'd have a Steam Deck. Or Stream Deck, you know, it would have all this stuff. And talk about Stream Deck, we have a really, I figured it was like only amount of time, or I think people in this industry are really going to appreciate this, because this gives them a lot more customers. I don't know much about the broadcasting industry, but Elgato announced the Stream Deck Studio in collaboration with Bitfocus. So this is for professional broadcasting, like your TV stations, to use a Stream Deck-like device here, like you can see it. And again, all of this is going to be customizable, right? And it's basically like a rack. Like it goes in like a rack like to your controller here.
Mm-hmm. No, it's cool. Yeah, it's surprising that it took this long for somebody to do this. Surprised we didn't see something sooner, but it's no surprise that Elgato would kind of bump into that. And I'm sure it plugs into all sorts of existing software.
And the cool thing about it is that it constantly can be updated, right? So there's a new piece of hardware, whatever, you can customize. And again, Elgato Corsair is going to work with all these big, you know, whatever this is. This is your broadcast. I don't know what this is, but this is your broadcasting configuration, and you know, everything, all these controllers will work with this, and everything goes together. I think it's a win for Elgato, that's for sure, because like how many big broadcasting studios are going to use this? Probably a lot. I'm not like that familiar with,
I mean, because a lot of times you used to see buttons that were very similar to this and they would light up. But then a lot of times you would have like a little piece of paper or something that you could put inside there to like make a custom, function button. And then you put the keycap, the cap over the button, so it's illuminated. Now, you've got a screen there and you can make it look exactly how you want it.
Exactly how you want it. You can color code it. You can like say all these are color coded. Like it just for the broadcast.
Dials on the sides.
Yeah, it makes everything so much easier, I think. And again, obviously you can stack these up, and Ryan's just going to make a rack mount for, and he's just get this for his stream, just, you know.
No.
Yeah, but pretty cool to see, and it'd be interesting to see how, if this initial partnership moves into other areas as well, right? Not just broadcasting, other things where you may want a console like this for whatever it may be. So yeah, pretty cool to see. And a good win for Elgato. So those are the Corsair stories, and that is it for news for the week.
We had a question in chat a couple months ago. Someone that caught us live was asking about installing a new SSD and needing to enable Launch CSM before being able to use it, and their computer wouldn't boot. Without knowing like your motherboard and what are you using it as your like boot drive, a secondary drive, like all those things, without that info, kind of a tough thing to tell you what the next step is. May try reaching out to the manufacturer and kind of letting them know, because without knowing like all those types of things, it's gonna be tough.
Help a whole lot. And then someone said, I worked in broadcast for many years, would be great in a live.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It was like, you see those broadcast trucks are like in a mobile rack, where you've got certain, you know, a limited set of components and a limited amount of space that could be very versatile to have it doing
now, you know,
things that would usually take up multiple U's of space.
You know more about networking than me, but like, would something like that work in a rack
it's just a 19-inch rack. So like a lot of the like, audio gear.
But like, would, so like at a data center.
Okay.
Would there be functions for something like that in a data center? Because I'm just thinking of a rack.
You could do like some really like random stuff, but nothing like, no.
Yeah.
Because usually like your rack is like, you set it and you get it choiced out when you first put it in, that it's locked up, and then you remote into that rack, and you're not at the rack all the time, like needing physical access to any buttons or anything.
That's what I figured. But yeah, no, it's pretty, like I said, it's pretty cool setup. And I think broadcasters will definitely appreciate that over what they're currently using. Again, I don't know what they're currently using, but it just seems like from the times you see like people in that broadcast booth on TV, like it doesn't seem.
Well, you get those control surfaces, like some of those pictures showed, like some of them had knobs and they had colored and illuminated buttons, but they were set to like a certain, you know, either a color or a shape of a button or the design. Like, this is only the record button because we've put a red label on it and made it round, right? So it looks like record. But with this, any of those buttons can be anything. So
yeah,
the versatility.
Yeah. So I definitely like that. I don't think Ryan and us are going to build a rack that we can put that in though, unfortunately. But talking about what we have coming up next week. So Fractal Design came out with the Era 2. They also came out with the gaming chair.
Yeah.
So I'll be taking a look at their Refine gaming chair to see, you know, we love their cases. We love their design. Let's see.
And it's a gaming chair that looks a little more professional. It's not so racer. It's not like a race car seat. Looks comfortable, right? Ergonomic. Yeah.
So we'll see how this one goes, if we like it, if it's comfortable and everything like that. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then Ryan, talking about Corsair and Elgato, Ryan is taking a look at the Corsair, ready for the long name, the IQ Link Titan 360 RX RGB liquid CPU cooler. So
yeah, this typing is has been great, right? Like that's a copy and paste name.
Yeah. So this is their 360. Do you have the white one or the black one?
The black.
Okay, so you have the black one. Yeah. So this is their 360 RGB fans. Is this a screen or no? Or is it just a cover? Okay.
Yeah, just cover.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Ryan will have that for you next week.
You can swap that cover off, right? For other modules.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that's not screen.
So for our question of the week, I figured since we were talking about a lot of keyboards, the question of the week is, what's your current keyboard? And then what is a keyboard that you used for a very long time?
Sure. I can answer it with one keyboard.
Because I know which one it is, too.
It's the Corsair K65 RGB Lux is my daily driver here. And I've had it for 10 years, maybe.
That's a long time.
That's a long time with a keyboard, right? It's still got a hardwired cable to it, so it's not like a nice type C that goes into it. But I love it. It's
can you show us the keyboard without unplugging everything?
Yeah. And I use the wrist rest. I've got some custom keycaps on it.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's up there.
Nice.
It's
10 years.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No issues. It's not hot swappable key switches. So like these Cherry MX Reds have been going for a long time.
That's a testament. You ever see, like, you go on Reddit and you see people with like the mouse and it's like completely worn down. And I feel like that's like your keyboard. I'm surprised that because those are ABS keycaps. I'm surprised the Legends haven't worn off.
No, yeah, and if I look at them, like, none of them even look, like, worn around the...
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's great. Before that, though, I was using... Yeah, I think I went straight to this from the Logitech G15, the original, with the screen and the 15 G keys on the side. I mean, that's a membrane keyboard. It's...
Dang.
Yeah. Dang. I don't swap. Like, I find a component I like, and I just... use it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I swap a lot.
You get a lot of men. Not that I mean, I've got a stack of keyboards that I could use. I just
I've used some that I've used for a very long time. But the current keyboard I'm using, we just reviewed it. It's the Mel Geek Made 98. This is the Hall Effect keyboard. Rapid Trigger has all that stuff. So it and you can tell that it does improve your gameplay. Like, it definitely does.
I couldn't tell last week, but
yeah, I was not playing good. But yeah, that's the keyboard right there. Yeah. Now, as far as a keyboard that I've used for a very long time, IQNIX.
Gotta be that one.
Yeah, the IQNIX A80. Let's bring up pictures of the side of it, because it had this really unique design where the side was like elevated. Let's find time. Yeah. So like the side of the keyboard or the top edge, like where your function row is, it was like elevated. It was just really, really cool. And I love the color. Like, I absolutely loved this yellow, blue, and like gold, or yellow, blue, and white. Like, it was just such a cool keyboard. It was heavy. It felt good. Obviously, mechanical keyboard.
Is that anything functional next to the escape key? Like that?
No, it's just
vertical.
The
vertical between the F keys.
Oh, this? Yeah, yep. So that's a light. So that would let you know if your battery's low. It's also like the LED for it, because this is a tri-mode keyboard, so wired, wireless 2.4, and wireless Bluetooth. So it was your Bluetooth button or indicator as well. So if you're in pairing mode, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a just a great. Yeah, I love the ski board. I might go back. No, I'm thinking about it. I have a stack. I have so many awesome keyboards. But yeah, that was the one that I used for such a very long time. Old man in the chat says, I used to use Logic keyboards for many years. I'm using the CDO Stellar mechanical keyboard. Did we look that up last week or was that a different one?
I don't think so. Old man switches keyboards like you do.
I know. He might have more than me.
CDO Stellar.
I think we did talk about this.
Did we? Maybe
yeah.
We did.
Yeah, it's the one with the little screen.
I've got to say, this is kind of brings me to Noctua color scheme. It's you love it or you hate it, and I'm not a fan of that thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, you don't like it? It's all
no, little, yeah. I'm not a fan.
We got to get Ryan.
I think he did talk about this because he was talking about how I had the LCD screen.
Yeah, he talked about it last week.
Yeah, yeah. He says he's got about 20 right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is
like you see keyboards and you see cool designs. That's the problem. It's like you see these ones that look so cool and you're like, that would look cool sitting on my desk. And then you just have to get it. You know, luckily I get them to review, but a lot of times, like I'm just, you know, you see stuff and you're like, you know, but mechanical keyboards can get expensive, especially if you're building your own, or there's like a lot of like really high end, like you could like, there's keyboards that are $1,000. Like that's crazy. Yeah.
And you got to put it together.
Yeah. So yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was the question of the week. Anything else tech related you want to talk about before we jump into gaming?
Oh, I got to look around again. No, I don't think so. My son has like started asking if he can do a YouTube channel, he says.
Oh,
he wants to be able to capture his Fortnite gameplay off of his Switch. And so that brings in a whole like, well, you got to have like a capture card that can also do output because the Switch has to output to the card plus to a display, right? So I got to figure out what we're going to do there. Or is now a good time to just make him transition over to PC? And then
I think
right so I think I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's the play.
Yeah, that's, so that's then definitely. It's like okay, I've got older hardware, do I just,
because then he can like that? He can also, once he gets the gameplay recorded, he can learn how to edit it on the PC.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that would be the good play.
Yep.
I'm trying to think, what else was I going to tell you? I was going to tell you something. Oh, so next week, let me look at the calendar. Yeah, next week, the 25th, is the last podcast in this studio. It's the last one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm moving at the end of the month. So we'll have a completely different studio. And then, so I'm moving on the 1st. That next Wednesday is the 2nd. No podcast because there's no possible way I'll have the office set up by then.
Right.
And then Ryan is going on vacation on the 9th. So we will be off for 2 weeks. Maybe some gaming streams, we'll see. I'll see if we get some people together to do that. But I think that will give me enough time also to put the studio together, to get the lighting kind of, you know, how we have it in here. But we will have then, it'll give us a nice little break too. So when we come back strong for holiday season, we're going to have a lot of launch coverage coming up. I got to see some really cool stuff that I could not talk about at all, but yeah, so some really cool stuff coming up. We have great reviews coming up. We have a lot of products. Get into holiday season, and it's good that you're taking a nice little vacation because holiday season just gets busy.
You're busy, yeah.
Yeah, hell, it just gets busy, and yeah. So yeah, that is it for the podcast this week. Thanks, of course, everybody in the live chat, Old Man, Phantom Bear, the Stream Shed. That's what you need, Ryan. You need a Stream Shed, not the basement. Basement's going to fill up with comics anyways. So yeah. Stream Shed, yeah. And Pseudoscientist is in here. He said, the cheapest keyboards possible, but now want to try mechanical aluminum base, 80% TKL. Yeah, the biggest thing with the aluminum base keyboards, and Ryan and I both experienced this, is that make sure there's proper cushion or sound dampening, because a pinging keyboard is the most annoying thing. So when you hit the switch down, it pings. Most of the time you won't see that these days, but on like the earlier versions of the all aluminum bases, you would get a ping, and it's just one of the most annoying things.
Well, it's like the like CNC'd, like real sturdy bases, you don't get it as much. But yeah, it's definitely an annoying sound if you start to notice it, and then you can't like unnotice it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things. So, but yeah, guys, definitely come back next week, because that will be the last podcast in this studio, and then we'll be off for 2 weeks, so you won't be able to see us. If you miss next week, you won't be able to see us for 3 weeks, which is a very long time. So but again, thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.